Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you've studied your Bible, you may have come across situations where you didn't quite understand what the Bible was saying. Sometimes the Bible can seem to be locked to our understanding. There is a way to open up the meaning of the Bible. There are keys that we can use to unlock the Bible's meaning so we can understand it. And on today's program, we're going to look at 7 keys that we can use to open the Bible to our understanding. And if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. We'll look at these scriptures together as we go through 7 keys that we can use to open up our Bible study. The first key is to pray for guidance. Pray for guidance before we start our Bible study. We need God to direct and to guide our Bible study. Let's look at this in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verses 26 and 27. It says, I have declared my ways, and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. So shall I talk of your wondrous works. And then down in verse 33 and 34, it says, Teach me, O Eternal, of the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Yes, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So here we can see from the Psalms that we need to ask God for his guidance and his direction. We need to ask God. Without God's direction in our Bible study, that study can be vain and of no value to us. We might put in the effort, but we're not going to get the maximum benefit from it unless we ask God to guide our studies. Pray for guidance. That's the first key to understanding the Bible. The second key is study to be corrected. When we study, we need to go into that Bible study with an attitude of looking to be corrected, where you are going to see some things that we need to improve. Let's look at this in Jeremiah 10, verses 23 through 24. Jeremiah 10, verses 23 through 24, it says, O Eternal, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. O Eternal, correct me, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. If we are seeking diligently God's correction on a daily basis and striving to apply it, then we can make sure that we're on the right path in life. And if we get further and further away from that right path, then it's more dramatic when we have to get moved back to the right path. We have a farther distance to go. We need more correction. So we don't want to get into a situation where we're way off the right track. And daily Bible study, daily correction that comes from that study, keeps us on the right track. Now, the purpose for Bible study is not just to gain academic knowledge, but it's to bring us closer to the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ's character. We don't want knowledge alone. Knowledge is great, but we have to apply it. Let's look at this point in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. Christ speaking to the multitude and to his disciples here nails this point down about applying the truth, being corrected by it, doing it. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3, it says, Then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not you after their works, for they say, and do not. See, the scribes and Pharisees had the right words, but they didn't do them. So we could study and really get the Bible, the words, the knowledge into our minds. That's great. But if we don't let it correct us, then we end up in a situation like Christ was discussing here, where the scribes and the Pharisees, they had the right words, they said them, they taught them, but they didn't do them. We want to make sure that when we are studying the Bible, we're letting it correct us. The third key to understanding our Bibles is to study to prove all things. Study to prove all things. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." So once we prove it, we have to hang on to it. Continue to study it, continue to understand it. The command demands a positive approach to confirm whether a teaching is correct. So this is a very positive approach to study. It's an attitude of going to prove what we've learned correct, not an attitude of trying to disprove. And we can see this in Acts 17, verses 11 through 12. Very well-known passage here, but very important. Acts 17, verse 11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily." See, they had daily Bible study. "Whether those things were so." And verse 12 says, "Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." In verse 11, readiness is translated as eagerness in the Revised Standard Version. And look at the result of that type of study. Verse 12 says that many of them believed because they proved God's word true. See, they had the right attitude when they went into their Bible study. They had a positive approach of going to prove God's word true. And they had tremendous Bible study, noble Bible study. The fourth key to understanding the Bible, to unlocking it in our studies, is to remember that there are no contradictions in God's word. No contradictions in God's word. Satan, of course, wants us to doubt the truth of God's word. And we can remember how he discredited God when he was deceiving Eve. You remember that in Genesis, where he said to Eve, "Well, did God really say you shouldn't eat of the tree? Did he really say that? Oh, you won't die." You remember, he discredited God's word. He wants to make it seem like there are contradictions. He wants to discredit God's word. But when we look into God's word, and we truly see and understand what it says, we find there are no contradictions. We have to diligently study with an open mind to get the full picture of what God is teaching us. If we have difficulty understanding a scripture, or if it seems to say something different from another scripture, then either the translation is faulty or further study is needed. See, it'd be easy enough to find what we think is a contradiction and then throw up our hands and say, "Well, you know, it contradicts itself. I don't believe any of this." Some people do that. But how about saying, "Okay, I don't understand this, so I need to make sure I study more in-depthly. I need to make sure I have the right translation here. I need to make sure that I've read every scripture that relates to the topic and make sure that I really understand the context." See, that type of an attitude and that type of study then opens up our minds instead of immediately closing our minds if we don't understand something right away. Here's a quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's a great course. Please sign up for it for free at thetrumpet.com. And it's illustrating this point here about there being no contradictions in God's word. And it says, to illustrate, let's look at one example of an apparent contradiction. John describes events before Christ's crucifixion that he says took place about the sixth hour. That's in John 19 and verse 14. Yet Matthew states that several hours after the crucifixion, when darkness began to cover the land, was also the sixth hour. That's in Matthew 27 and verse 45. So it seems like there's a disagreement here between the time periods, but there's not. Matthew used the Jewish reckoning of time. The sixth hour of the day to him was noon. On the other hand, it appears that John, who wrote in Asia Minor, long after the destruction of Jerusalem, makes the day begin at midnight, as the Greeks and Romans did. Since John counted time from midnight, to him the sixth hour was 6 o'clock in the morning. And so we can see that even though something may appear to be a contradiction, we have to do a little more study, and then we find that the Bible doesn't have any contradictions, and it's just our understanding that needs to improve. With an open mind like that, God's word really comes alive, and he can really open it up to our understanding. After this quick break, we'll take a look at the final three keys to effective Bible study that really helps the Bible to come alive for us. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. In the first half of the program, we looked at the first four keys to effective Bible study. We're looking at seven keys altogether. And those first four keys were to pray for guidance, study to be corrected, study to prove all things, and remember that there are no contradictions in God's Word. Now let's look at three more keys to effective Bible study so that our Bibles can really come alive in our lives. God's Word can really energize us if we have these keys and we use them to open up the Bible. The fifth key is to study all related scriptures. Now, in a recent program, we quoted Mr. Armstrong from his book, Mystery of the Ages, and he wrote that the Bible is like a giant jigsaw puzzle, which is such a great analogy, because it's something we've all probably done, put a jigsaw puzzle together, and we know there's lots of pieces. And we don't see the full picture until all of those pieces get put together in the right way. That's the fun of the puzzle. Well, the Bible is very similar to that. There are scriptures that relate to a topic, and there are many, many scriptures that relate to that topic. So we have to take all the scriptures, put them together and understand them, and then we get a full and complete picture of the topic. Now, consider the account of the inscription written above Christ's head at his crucifixion. There's a few passages here we'll look at. First, Matthew 27 and verse 37. It says, "And set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" And if we go look at Mark 15 and verse 26, it says, "And the superscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.'" Luke 23 and verse 38 says, "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" And then finally, John 19 and verse 19, it says, "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" So each one of these is a piece of the puzzle. And the correspondence course says, "Only when we piece together all four bits of information supplied by each of the writers may we glean a complete record of what was written there. 'This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" This illustrates again the principle of here a little and there a little that we learned, and that we talked about already, where there's, you know, a little bit of knowledge here, there's a little bit there, and it has to be pieced together. All the scriptures have to be put together, and when we do that, we see that, in fact, they don't contradict each other, they complement each other, and they create a full picture. to fully understand what the Bible teaches about any subject, we must study all related scriptures. The sixth key to unlocking the Bible is to study the context of a scripture. Study the context of a scripture. Notice an example of this in Matthew 16 and verse 28. Verse 28 says, "Truly I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So if a person were to read just that scripture, they could assume that those disciples that were there wouldn't die. They would still be alive at the return of Christ. That would be an easy thing to assume, but it would be an assumption. We need the full context of what was being said here. We need to understand the context of the statement. So in order to do that, in this case, we simply have to keep reading into Matthew 17. And it's important to note that to make the Bible easier to navigate, men have come along and inserted chapter breaks and so forth. But it doesn't mean that that's a change in the story flow. Sometimes the chapter break's not in a good spot, and the story does continue to flow. And in this case, the story does continue to flow. The history continues to flow from Matthew 16 right into Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 3. This gives us the context of what Christ had just said. "After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him." So now we understand the context. Peter, James, and John did see a vision of the kingdom. They were alive and they saw this vision of the kingdom, but that's what Christ was saying. He wasn't saying they would stay alive physically until his second coming when he establishes the kingdom of God on this earth. And so when we continue to read from Matthew 16 into Matthew 17, we see that, in fact, Christ was just referring to this vision that they were about to have. He wasn't saying they would live and live and live this supernaturally long physical life until Christ returns. So we have to read all of the scriptures in context. Sometimes it's just a matter of keep reading. Other times it's a matter of going and finding other pieces of the puzzle in other parts of the Bible. So we have to understand scriptures in their context. The seventh and final key to really open up our Bibles to our understanding is to always let the Bible interpret the Bible. A perfect example of this is the book of Revelation. Now, if you've looked into the book of Revelation, you know there's a lot of symbolic language. And there's also a lot of interpretations about what those symbols mean. Lots of different ideas and thoughts out there about what Revelation's talking about. But again, remember, we have to let the Bible interpret the Bible. The book of Daniel, in fact, unlocks the meaning of these symbols. When you go through and you read Revelation, you have to pair it with the book of Daniel. And when you do that, you can see what the interpretation of the symbols is. And it's not the interpretation of a human. It's God's revelation. God revealed it. God shows what he means by the symbols. Daniel, that book, unlocks the book of Revelation. And we don't have time to get into it. That's a fascinating study. We won't get into it on this program. There's a free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation. It's at thetrumpet.com. And you can study that, and it'll show you what those symbols in the book of Revelation mean. And again, it's not a man's interpretation or an opinion. The book of Daniel, which God revealed, reveals what the symbols mean in the book of Revelation. So Daniel unlocks Revelation. The Bible has to interpret the Bible. We have to let it do that. And so get that booklet. It's at thetrumpet.com, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, and it's free. And so these are seven tremendous keys that we can start using right away. Pray for guidance in our Bible study. Before we do our daily study, pray for guidance that we'd study the right things, that our minds would be open to it. Study to be corrected. Know that going into that Bible study, we're going to find some things we're not doing right. And if we have an attitude of looking for correction and applying it, then our minds will be open more and more to God's truth. Thirdly, study to prove all things. Have that noble attitude of really studying to prove God's word true. A fourth key is to remember that there are no contradictions in God's word. If it seems like there's a contradiction, then we need to continue to study and make sure that we have a proper understanding, because there are no contradictions in God's word. The fifth key is to study all related scriptures. And again, that ties right back in with that fourth point. If we think there's a contradiction, it's probably because we haven't looked at all of the scriptures and we haven't gotten the full picture. So study all related scriptures on a topic. The sixth key is to study the context of a scripture. Make sure we understand the full context around it so we don't just start assuming something. And then the seventh and final key is always let the Bible interpret the Bible. It's vitally important that we do that. We need to let the Bible interpret the Bible. The symbols there in Revelation, again, unlocked by the book of Daniel as a prime example. If we put these seven keys into practice and we use them in our daily Bible study, our Bibles will be unlocked and truly come alive in our lives. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. If you've missed any past episodes, you'd like to go back and listen to another one again, you can find the archives at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.